This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network, sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. We are back. It is Wells Tech for August 19th, 2014. This is episode 355, a show where we talk about technology and ministry. We do it every Tuesday, 4 o'clock Central. And joining me doing that every 4 o'clock Central is Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Good afternoon, Martin. Happy to be joining you today. Happy for our Wells Tech discussion today. I think it's one that's interesting to a lot of people. One of the things we're going to cover is the concept of electronic giving in a lot of different flavors.
Mm-hmm. And that's all in the context of our upgrade, so to speak, of our Wells Tech Wiki. We weren't overly pleased with the direction that platform was going, so we decided to move it on to Google Sites. And so it's not, I guess I wouldn't call it a true wiki, a man's wiki or a woman's wiki, but it's our own wiki, and we love it. It's on Google Sites, and you do have to request an account, and Sally will grant that to almost anybody with in pretty short order, and then you can go in and modify the site, add content, et cetera, and we're probably, what, three-quarters of the way through the site, Sally?
I'd say at least three-quarters. We're down here in the office section working our way through the sidebar menu that's showing here. And we're going to wrap up this series in maybe 2 to 3 more weeks, Martin. So near the end.
Today we've got kind of a special focus. We're going to talk about, you know, the whole section here under office, or at least the remaining sections, which include productivity, hardware, and software. And then we're going to cap off the conversation with electronic or e-giving, which there seems to be a lot of interest in. We should note that maybe Google is changing things up on us a little bit. Normally we have the ability to see and answer questions. For some reason we don't have that widget, you know, in our Google Hangout. I think our viewers can still ask a question. There is a green bar that says ask a new question. We can still see those, but we can't clear them or answer them, so just be patient with us. I see one from Tom Wilsman already. Do I need to do anything else to sign in? No. We saw what you wrote, Tom, so I think that's the key. So that's just kind of a good reminder to everybody tuned in. If you want to ask a question, please go ahead and do that. We'll try and address those. We are not the be-all, end-all of all technical knowledge. So we can't guarantee that because you ask a question, we will have a cogent thought on the answer. But we'll be honest about it, and that's why we have a wiki, so that we can gather all this collective wisdom from across our viewing and listening audience.
So we may not even know what a cogent thought is, so there.
We're starting at a very low level. So
yeah.
Keep that in mind. So let's jump into what we're talking about with the wiki today, and that is, maybe you'll start with productivity, Sally?
Sure. Martin, we have kind of an older page that harkens back to some past content on productivity. Let's see if I can share my screen. Way back in the day, we did a productivity episode focusing on the concept of Inbox Zero. We linked to different productivity systems, and interestingly enough, getting things done is the first on our list of productivity systems, and I'd say it's still extremely popular today. So, you know, there's some concepts thrown out here and ideas about managing the flow of information and tasks and things like that. And also, there's lots and lots that we could add to this page. We even heard from Pastor Rob Gunther with some ideas for the page. He talked about adding if this then that and automatic, two different systems that we've talked about on the show before, even ways to do sign-up sheets and things like that online. So there's plenty that we could add here, but I will say we didn't put a lot of effort into updating this page yet because we have a topic coming up on the podcast that's going to be really focused on productivity. Martin, we've made our book selection for next year. I'm holding up a copy of it. It's called What's Best Next? It's by author Matt Pearman. And we're going to be reading this book throughout the season, starting in September. So if you don't have a copy, you might want to grab a copy and read along with us. Interesting read. I'm really excited as I'm making my way through the book because it's looking at productivity from the angle of the gospel motivation for productivity. And so I'm very excited about the concepts shared in the book. And I think that's going to give us an opportunity to beef up this area of the wiki considerably as we work through that book throughout the coming season.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm looking for, I haven't read the book yet, but I've heard good things about it. And again, you know, that gospel motivation or that really focus on stewardship, you know, doing what the best that you can with what you've been given is really kind of, I get the sense of the focus of the book, which is a little bit different than, let's say, a David Allen book talking about, you know, getting things done system. So it's going to talk about a system, but it's certainly going to come from the right motivation. So, and then we get to mix in technology and all that good stuff. So it should be a good time. So pick up a copy of that book. I've got it on Kindle, so I know it's available on Kindle as well for a little bit cheaper. Good news on the productivity side. And if you do have productivity systems that you use or tips that you find useful, that's the kind of content we're looking for on the wiki. So dive right in and add that. And as things get added, we'll probably maybe even have a little segment on the show where we can talk about what's new on the wiki. I'd hope that we could get enough of that kind of content where we could have a little bit of segment each and every week. So. Hardware next.
Yeah, speaking of what's new on the wiki, we did add a little on the hardware page, and mainly because we have some great ShopWells vendors that we have hardware contracts with, or associations, I should say, with, including Central Office Systems, James Imaging, and Xerox. And so links are provided there to the ShopWells information. If you're not familiar with ShopWells, maybe this would be a good introduction if you're looking to make any major hardware purchases. Everybody knows those can really get expensive, and ShopWells is there to partner with you and help your church or school through that process by leading you to vendors that have given us special rates for our Wells organizations.
Yep, and we don't just have copier vendors. There are vendors that provide computers. There are vendors that provide firewalls and routers, those kinds of things, switches. Wireless or Wi-Fi vendors, there's all kinds of stuff there. So shopwells.net's the place to go.
Excellent. We also have a category here called software, Martin.
And that's a pretty broad one and a lot of room for growth, I guess, would be the best way to put it. So under software, we have things right now that are related to either office suites or calendaring. So just some general office management kinds of things. So way back, you know, episode 077, we had what we called Bonus Wells Tech Goodness Summer, and there we talked a little bit about Google Calendar, and there's some tutorials there, all kinds of additional resources on Google Calendar. That's probably the calendar of choice when we do our final web training. That's one that we kind of recommend even over the final web calendar that's there. There's just a lot of usefulness in most ministry situations, especially if you are in a situation where you have more than one person using the calendar, so there's some collaboration going on, or you need to share it, you know, to the congregation or school parents or kids, whatever. So yeah. Calendaring is there. Not to say that that's the only kind of calendaring solution that we would maybe want represented there. If there are others, that's great, but that's one that we've highlighted there.
Yeah, and just to make mention, Google Calendar is easily subscribed to. If others have Google Calendar, they can bring your church or school calendar right into their personal calendars. And for that very reason, we actually converted the MLC Master Calendar to Google Calendar platform this summer. So if you're interested in including MLC events in your personal calendar, they're on a Google Calendar as well. So a good standard that we highlighted many years ago that's still holding true today.
Then the other category right now that we have under software is the office suites and we had a good conversation going on the listserv back in 09, so we've repeated that here. But there are kind of just a small group of players in this space. One of them is, of course, Microsoft Office and their new Office 365 offering. Google Drive, we've talked about. OpenOffice and LibreOffice are two kind of open sourcey tools that you can use that we've talked about in the past. We even have a link there that compares Office suites, specifically Microsoft Office and LibreOffice. So if you're thinking pay for, don't pay for, that's maybe a good article to read to figure out, you know, is it worth it or can I get by without it? We probably should do kind of a little bit of a matchup on Office suites ourselves, Sally, because we do have experience with Google or the Google Apps environment and Microsoft Office. Both you and I use both of them mm-hmm. on a regular basis, so it might be kind of fun to compare and contrast. And there probably are churches or schools who could get by with, you know, one or the other, but there may be some that one feature, that one tool that they need that they can't live without that would kind of point them in one direction or another.
Yep. I think price-wise, it's really exciting these days that you can use the online tools, especially like in education settings where you have a lot of students that you're trying to expose to the concept. You can use many of those tools for free. Office 365 is free for nonprofits. Obviously, Google Drive is free as well. So, and then the downloadable Office suites, OpenOffice and LibreOffice, are open source free as well. So, lots of options there. Again, just kind of what's your need and how what tool best serves your need. So, and I'm wondering if there's other software that we should add to that page. What else do church offices and school offices use on a regular basis? I guess one thing I see that's kind of a gap is some kind of a design type software. I know a lot of people
are
back to using Microsoft Publisher, and there are others in that space. There's even open source solutions in that space as well. So maybe some of you that are in that mode could share your experience with desktop publishing software or any other software you use in the church or school office.
Yeah, one question we get a lot on the desktop publishing side is there cloud-based versions of these tools like there are for the Office suite? And we've kind of rooted around a little bit and not found a lot of good solutions. Maybe that's changed. So if you've got experience with that especially. But I'm sure there are other, you know, just kind of go-to tools in every church or school office that we're not thinking of because we don't live in that world. It'd be great to have those there and some feedback on them.
Yeah, and just an interesting comment from Pastor Howard Mulkey, who says make sure you include iPad compatibility.
Mobile, right.
So mobile is, yeah, up and coming, and whatever you do, you want to be able to access from your mobile devices as well. That's a great point, Pastor.
Yep. All right, then let's get on to e-giving or electronic giving. And again, this is, if there's any question that I receive probably more often than almost anything these days, I do get a lot of websites and marketing type questions, but it's probably in the area of e-giving. What would we recommend in those areas? So we've tried to build out a little bit of a page that would help somebody considering all the options, and this is not definitive whatsoever. But these are some things that we've either come across or talked to people who are using or have a little bit of experience with as we kind of examined or explore this whole space. And there's a wide range of approaches that you can take from very easy to set up and very cheap to more deluxe, you know, things that are a lot more complicated. And it's really going to depend on your needs. So that's probably the best place to start is don't start with the tool, but start with the need. What gap are you trying to fill? If you are a stewardship committee trying to figure out how maybe to give your members a more opportunities or more varied opportunities to support the work of the church or the school, start there and then figure out what's going to make sense, and then you can kind of consider your options. So maybe the first category, the big category, is maybe what we would call online giving. And it wasn't too long ago, Sally, that we had Peter Frank on from Concordia Technology Solutions talking about a brand new solution from them called e-giving.
Right. They have partnered with Vanco and are integrating that e-giving option into your website easily and tying in also to their Concordia Technology Solutions software packages so that when you do receive gifts, they go into your accounting system properly and that kind of thing. So it's kind of a partnership that CTS has established with Vanco. And Vanco is one of the major vendors. We have some examples on the page of congregations that are using different e-giving options, and one is Vanco. Martin, I think your congregation uses Vanco in some capacity as well. So
yeah, we don't use an online giving portion. It's more a form that gets filled out and automatic withdrawal through Vanco, mm-hmm. and I think a number of churches do that. I wouldn't say participation has been great, but it's a start.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit of a variation of our online giving category, but Vanco certainly has an offering there, as right. you mentioned, in conjunction with e-giving.
I just think it's good to have some people that have some experience because there's so many vendors out there, and at times you aren't quite sure which direction to go. Others that we listed that seem worthy of consideration are justgive.org, easytithe.com, and ministrygive.com. All of those will help you walk through that process of setting up online giving. Many times they'll have you create a page on their site and from your site just link to it. And it may look a lot like your site, but it'll actually be processing on their website. Sometimes they'll give you embeddable things to put on your own website. It just depends on the vendor.
The one of those three that I've heard about the most is the Ministry Give option. I've seen that a number of larger churches use that for some reason, so there's probably some value in certainly considering that one, seeing if it's a fit for you. It looks like it's been kind of battle-tested and a major player there.
Very good. Another way that you can encourage members to give is by texting, and oftentimes you'll see this come up if there's an event, maybe a catastrophe or whatever, and you'll see the Red Cross is accepting donations, just text a certain message to a certain number or whatever. And you can use that same kind of thing, and actually Synod uses that kind of thing if there is some kind of disaster that it's appropriate to allow people to give to,
right.
to support a cause or whatever.
Yep.
Mobile Cause is the vendor?
Yeah, and in that particular genre, you have some limitations. It's not an unlimited amount that you can give because it's deducted from your telephone bill. So the telcos provide some kind of restrictions around that because they don't want to, you know, have that collections issue. So normally it's like $5 or $10 or $25 max. So it's not going to be a replacement for, let's say, your envelope giving, but it could augment it, as you mentioned, or just kind of be that impulse give. So you're on you're at a location, you're doing an event, something like that, and you've got a number of people who can do it, and it's real easy to do.
Okay. Another flavor, though, is to actually have a mobile app dedicated to your congregation or whatever it may be for giving, where people can use their mobile app to give. And actually, we'll do another shout-out to Pastor Mulkey because he pointed us to the giving app. And this is a site that you can use. You can set up an account and have basically a web page where people can log in and give to your organization. I actually went through the process. If you scroll through the page, they show you a little bit of a demo of the app, and you can sign up for a free demo. And so I did. Let me see if I can just log in real quick. For those of you watching online, I'll show you a little bit of the behind the scenes. Obviously, I don't have any banking tied to this account, but when you first log in and create an account on the giving app, they give you two URLs. They give you one to a test app where you can play with it and put in credit card numbers that don't really process or anything, and then they give you a link to the live app. So here's my link to my test app. And you can see that I could control like a header image for the top of the app, and it's pretty much just prompting people to log in. So if people want to use the app, they need to have an account through the app. If you read further on the website, they want you to set up a vendor account with a company called Stripe. I don't know if you ever heard of Stripe, Martin, but I looked a little bit at their website, and they pretty much are a payment processing API kind of application. So many different vendors use it as their payment processing front end. So you have to go through and add your federal tax ID. You have to add your bank routing numbers and bank account numbers and things like that to get set up with Stripe. And then your giving app will work. And again, it's pretty simple and straightforward, some big buttons and things. It's not meant to do anything but just collect giving. You can go into the app content area, and that's where you can upload your own graphics and things. That's why I played with putting the Wells logo, just to see how that would work. You can control a little bit about like the minimum donation amount, some messages that you give people, whether you can allow designations. So you could have it, you know, if you want it to the general fund or the organ fund or, you know, missions or whatever it may be, you could list out what designation options to offer. And then some quick give and confirmation message areas. So it's customizable, but they pretty much just build a mobile-friendly website, or probably 3 or 4 web pages. It's not a very big site, that you then share with your congregation a link to it.
Yeah, it's nicely done. It looks like it's legit, which is important when you're trying to build an interface that people feel comfortable with. I mean, maybe some situations people aren't going to be comfortable, so there's that barrier to get over. So you want to be careful with the vendor that you choose, that there's something reputable about them, and they stand behind their product. The thing I like best about this one in particular, it is that mobile-friendly environment. So you can direct it. You can go there via web browser, but you can go there via an iPad or iPhone or Android phone, whatever, and still have a good giving experience. And looks like you do have at least some capabilities of some decent branding and theming. Just keep in mind that when you do online giving, and I think most people probably are aware of this, that there are fees associated with that. So it's not like somebody putting a $10 bill in the offering plate or writing a check. There's going to be a processing fee, and usually if it's by credit card, that could be anywhere from 3% to 5%. The other consideration when you're doing online giving is you may not get your money right away. A lot of these, that's how they make their money. They hold your money for a month or two or three. It collects interest. That's how they invest it in other sources, so they get a return on their investment with your money. So you have to be aware of some of those limitations too, so that when you're looking at how these things work, whether it's Vanco or any of these other gift processing or payment processing places, even like Square or those kinds of companies, which I don't think we've mentioned yet, there is a fee and there is going to be some kind of period that you will be without that money. So it's not an immediate, like it shows up in your account kind of a thing. A little bit different than PayPal in that respect. We probably skipped over that even too, Sally, because you could use PayPal for this too. And I know anybody that is using FinalWeb, that may be an option for you if that works, because PayPal now will accept, you know, credit card information. There is a fee with PayPal, but the processing time I think is a little bit shorter.
Okay. A couple of comments just to follow up on the giving app. Pastor Jonathan Schrader says Stripe is a good company. That vendor that does the payment processing, he's used them for a year or so. So that's good to know. And then also Pastor Mulkey says he's also looking at GiveLify. So we'll have to check that one out too. I have up on my screen right now the pricing for the giving app, just kind of touching on that pricing. With the giving app, you can start at $19 a month to have your own app. And that's good for about 100 member church. It's good for up to 50 donations per month. And in addition to the $19 a month, you pay the 2.9% charge for each donation plus 30 cents per transaction. Yep. So that gives you an idea of some of those percentages. And
you could get nickel and diamond, especially if it's low volume. It may not be, you know, worth it.
Right.
I'd be interested in those people that have used it, you know, John or somebody else, if there was any increase, you know, in offering or increase in maybe the giving process or the stewardship process in general, if that was a positive experience or not. Because that's really what you're after. You want to make it easy, but you also want to obviously see results.
Yep. Two other categories on our wiki page, Martin, are automatic deductions. You mentioned that just a moment ago. That's what you do at Peace in Hartford, where people just fill out a form. I do that for my child's tuition at MVL. I fill out a form and allow them to draw the tuition every month to pay for their education. Same kind of concept. You could fill out a form and allow them to automatically deduct from your checking account. And Vanco is a vendor that allows you to do that kind of thing. So there's another option, not so much bells and whistles involved as some of the electronic options. Yep. And then credit card giving, you mentioned Square. It's a little dongle device that'll plug into an iPad. I don't know if you have you ever been anywhere where they're using Square, Martin?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Yep. Any you go to any like flea market now or any vendor, you know, I saw them all over New York when we were out there. Mm-hmm.
Did they hand you the iPad for them for you to sign with your finger?
Sign with your finger.
Yeah.
Right.
Pretty cool stuff.
And these are, I think, valid options, especially maybe for school registration or for concessions or for the buy the sweatshirt kind of thing at the basketball game. I think by providing a credit card option, I think you increase the likelihood of a sale. And these are really good solutions. Square has been around a long time now. In technology terms, I guess, probably 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. Amazon just came on board, and I think they're underselling Square even, so that might be a great option for especially schools, I think, to look at for those kind of point-of-sale opportunities.
Martin, we'd be remiss if we didn't make mention of something we saw when we were in Las Vegas last fall, meeting at several of the churches in the Las Vegas area. This picture in particular is from Green Valley Lutheran Church in Vegas. They actually have a credit card kiosk out in the narthex of the church. And I'm going to zoom in just on the text that's here. It says, how to donate. Swipe your card, touch yes on the screen to verify the last four digits of your card number, enter the donation amount and press enter, sign the first receipt, print an optional second receipt for your records, place the signed receipt in your envelope, the envelopes that are provided, and write your name on the envelope. And if you want to specify it's for a special purpose or whatever. So basically, you give them your signed receipt, and they would process that in a similar way to a restaurant or anywhere else that you sign a receipt for your credit card donation. So I thought that was very interesting. Las Vegas is a city with a lot of money flow, and they're used to using machines, apparently. So we saw this in multiple churches out there. I thought it was
probably a lot of people without any cash left. So credit card is probably a good option in Las Vegas. All right. So that is, and that's certainly, again, not a definitive list, but that's our little take on e-giving. That's why it's on the wiki. We would love your experiences. I think it's a valid approach these days, and more congregations are thinking of it. John Schrader responded, our millennials told us that the only check they write in a month was to church. Adding an e-giving option seems to have increased their participation in supporting ministry. John, that makes me feel real good, because that's about the only check I write in a month or a week. So if I'm classified at a little bit lower level, the millennial level, I'm all good with that.
How about that? Martin, we do have one more comment. I have it way at the bottom of the wiki page, but Pastor Rob Gunther did chime in and say, a tip, creating a friendly URL has made giving online a lot easier. And by that, just something like your web address /give. That's what they use at Grace in Kenai, Alaska. And he provided that link. It's out on the wiki page, and he also added, feel free to try it out if you'd like, preferably in large amounts. So you're invited to test out. Why don't we just, I'll just show that really quick, just to give you guys an idea of what an online giving page could look like. This is what theirs looks like at Grace in Kenai. They have different funds listed, and you would put in the amount for the different funds you could designate to. And then you can choose whether it's a one-time or recurring gift. And they have some text information about recurring gifts as well. So interesting and helpful to be able to see examples of this in action.
Very good. Thanks for all the contributions, and I think we're off to a good start here with the Wikitrans. Let's move on to our tips and our picks of the week, and I'm up with my tip. Let me do a quick screen share for those of you watching at home, and I'll just talk through it for everybody else. This is Gmail, so my tip is related to Gmail, and basically it's as simple as turning these things that Gmail calls tags into folders and using filters to get stuff stuffed into them, and it's very easy to do. So here's the use case. So I want to take any kind of email from a certain address or certain people or groups of people and put it in a special tag or folder. So let's say I want to take all my email from Wells, people with Wells.net email addresses. So all my business email I want to go in one folder from, let's say, Wells.net account holders. So I would go into settings, and that's through that gear icon in your Gmail in the upper right, and go to the labels tab, and you can see all of the existing labels that are there, and you can move those around. You can do basically anything you want with those as far as ordering, hiding, showing, and so on and so forth. Or over on the right, you can show all of those labels here as well. So down at the bottom of that list, you can create a new label, and I'm just going to create a quick one called Wells.net. I'm not going to nest it or anything. So there is my new label. If I come back into my settings, I'm going to go now over to filters, and I have no filters now. I'm going to create a new filter, and all I want to do is look for any email from anybody with an at Wells.net. So I'll type in at or star at Wells.net.
And the star is like a wild card.
Wild card, yep. Thanks for the translation. And that's all the criteria I want. So that's the only filter. So I'm going to create a filter with this search. And then I tell it what to do. First of all, I'm going to skip the inbox. I don't want to see this in my inbox. I just want to apply this new label that I created, which is right there, Wells.net. I'm going to create the filter. And now, when I go to read my email, all I would have to do is look for Wells.net, the Wells.net folder, if you want to call it that, for email that comes into the system. It won't clutter up my inbox. I can keep things separate. You can do that with any kind of thing that you could filter on, a from, a to, something in the subject, something in the message itself, and kind of tidy up this this email mess that sometimes is your inbox and keep things nice and clean. And you just need to get in the habit of checking those folders. So that is my tip of the week for all you Gmail users.
Excellent organization tip. Sometimes I struggle with setting them up, but that's just a one-time event, and then it just happens for you, and it's so nice to enjoy the benefits of that effort. So go for it.
Very powerful tool.
I'm going to share my screen. My explanation is short and sweet. Mine is a keyboard shortcut that I just learned about, and it works in any browser, I'm told. And it is basically the ability to easily select the web address. And I select the web address all the time, Martin, because I'm always sharing the web address with people or whatever. And sometimes you can click and it highlights it all, but sometimes you click wrong and you're in the middle of it and you have to go to all this mouse effort to highlight a web address. Instead of any of that, you can press Control plus L and your web address is highlighted. So then you could Control C to copy it or whatever you needed to do. But Control L works in any browser. Are you testing it out?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I don't want to do something bad to the Hangout here.
Oh, you can trust me, Martin. Control L, that's a keyboard shortcut you want to remember, especially if you do a lot of copy and pasting of browser addresses. So that's it for my tip of the week. I should jump right into my pick of the week. And my pick of the week came across my desktop just this morning. It's from my friends at Powtoon. If you guys hadn't heard of Powtoon.
Are they still around?
They are. They have 5 million Powtoons created, and they're celebrating just in time for school with free premium accounts for teachers. And so you can go to this webpage. I'll have a link in the show notes. It's powtoo.com/LP/tuneups, and you can click the button to get a free account. And the promo code is kind of in little letters, but it's TuneUp5M. And when you click on here, it should pop up a little window and ask you to fill out payment information, but there's this place down here to put in a coupon code. See, it's $96 a year currently, but I'm going to type in TuneUp5M and tab away from that field, and it should, and you know what? It's not liking that because I already did this. I already registered once, so it's not liking that. But it will refresh, and it'll say it's not any cost whatsoever.
Is that just for the year, and then the following year maybe you have to pay?
Well, I guess potentially, but Animoto is that way. You have to register every 6 months with Animoto, but they continue to let you have the access. They just want to get rid of any dormant accounts or whatever. So we'll see. You know, there's no promise here. But I did this earlier today. I signed up. They don't give any criteria here on this page that you have to have a .edu account. I just signed up with my MLC account, though, and it went right through. And I immediately had a premium $96 a year account with Powtoons.
And did you say what Powtoons was?
That's a good question. I had that in my mind. But if you guys aren't mind readers, maybe you don't know. Here's a sample Powtoon. I'll just play it real quickly. You won't hear the audio, obviously. But Powtoons is kind of a video creator using kind of an animation look to it. And they give you a lot of tools and backgrounds and imagery to use. You can bring in, obviously, your own images as well. You can narrate them. And it becomes a really cool-looking video. And I've worked with the editor quite a bit, and it's very precise. You can time things just right. You can bring in individual audio for each of the different slides and put together a really polished video. Now, without the fancy account, you're limited to just a one-minute length, but with that upgraded account, you can do longer Powtoons. So check it out, and hopefully, I believe with creating this educator account, you get 60 student access accounts as well. So you can share it with your students as well. So give it a try.
Kind of, is it Common Craft? Is that the
I'm
thinking of? That kind of flavor to it with the cutouts and whatever. So a little more digitized than that, but that's kind of the concept. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, great. My pick of the week is for all you Android phone users, and it is an app called Shush. One of the problems with a lot of phones is you will go into church or go into a meeting or whatever, and you silence your phone. You put it on vibrate. But you and I all know what happens when you leave that meeting is you forget to turn the ringer back on, so you put it back in your purse or your pocket, and you know, it's not, you can't hear it anymore. So you miss calls. That happens to all of us. It's happened to me. It's happened to my wife, my kids. This app takes care of that. So what it does is you install it on your phone, and there's probably equivalents to this for iOS, I would think. But with Android, they typically have a volume switch, a rocker switch, where you turn the volume up and down. And when you turn the volume down, you get it down far enough, it'll go on vibrate, and that's when Shush springs into action, and it basically says, what do you want to do? How long do you want to keep the ringer off for? And you have a little dial here, and you can turn it to, you know, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and then or keep it off altogether, which is maybe what you wanted. Or you hit the Shush button, which says, well, in this case, if you're looking at the screen demo here, I want this to be silenced for 2 hours and two and a half hours or 3 hours or whatever it is. And then it's going to turn the ringer on for you. You have the ability to say what volume level to restore the ringer to, which is kind of cool. And it just kind of works in the background. It appears as a little notification, so you know that it's on. A little icon appears at the top. and it works on tablets as well. So it's just a little, it's a free little utility that you can install, and just works right within your normal workflow. So if you're turning the volume down, it's going to say, hey, or turning the ringer off, hey, when do you want to turn this on, back on again, and it works perfectly. So it's my little pick of the week.
And I'm guessing that maybe iOS doesn't have something comparable to that, because you have just to flip a switch.
Right.
Yeah. So, maybe an advantage to having an Android phone.
That's one of many.
All right.
Let's move on, Sally. Do we have? Do we want to do a little promo, a little advertising?
I think we do, because we have a Wells Tech conference coming up, and we're hoping many of our Wells Tech listeners can join us for that. It's next summer, July 9th through 11th, so now's the time to mark your calendars and make plans to be there. It's going to be held in Waukesha, Wisconsin at the Country Inn, Country Springs Hotel and Conference Center. And you can find out more about it at wells.net/WellsTechConf. In particular, we'd love for your interest to be sparked to present something at the conference. And that could be anything technology ministry related. We're wide open to all kinds of suggestions and would love to hear from you if you think you have something that would be of interest to others to learn about. You can do kind of a hands-on demo. You can talk concepts or marketing or whatever it is that that is technology and ministry related.
Whatever you want to bring to the table.
That's right. And there's a page on that website, again, wells.net/WellsTechConf, where you can submit your ideas. Our planning committee will be reviewing those in October. And so we'd like to hear from you by the end of September if possible.
Great.
Yep.
Let's move on to, and the conference is, I think maybe you mentioned, July 9th through 11th, 2015. So
yep.
Let's move on to community feedback.
And you're going to be so excited, Martin, because we have a Pinterest feedback to share, if I can find my correct window to share.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, I have to tell the truth. Rachel Pearson, our friend from Trinity in Waukesha, teacher and tech director there, shared this in a Google group. It's kind of a private Google group called Wells Google Schools. And I just added it as a pin so that others could see it in a more public place. It's an infographic that was released today from Google for Education. And it's kind of a best practices, top 10 things related to the new Google Classroom platform. They have rolled that out to all of the Google Apps for Education domains, and so teachers can begin to use it right at the beginning of this school year. And they just have some points here for you to consider, like use Classroom for any subject and attach relevant videos, websites, documents, and more. Save time at the photocopier when you use the Make a Copy for Each Student feature. So make a digital copy and it will show up for each student. Save trees and money when you go paperless with Google Classroom. Share announcements with your whole school by putting all teachers and students in a class. So, you know, sometimes you might think of grouping people together by their actual physical classes, but if you want to have an all-school class, then you can have comments there as well. So lots of good tips on the infographic. Check it out, especially if you're planning to make use of Google Classroom as a learning management system this fall.
I'm looking forward to hearing more about Google Classroom. I don't have any experience with it, so if somebody's using that in the fall, it'd be great to hear from them how it's going. Brand new product from Google.
Yep. Next up, Martin, we heard from our friend Julia WagonConnect. She asked a question about sharing photos online, but doing so privately. In particular, they just finished up a VBS program in her congregation. They got permission from the parents for photos and things, but they're not really comfortable just making their whole photo library available on their website. And so they were looking for a way to do that in a more private fashion. And they looked at Flickr, but it looks like Flickr wasn't going to do the trick for them. There's not a great way to share privately there. So they were looking for other suggestions.
I think Flickr can do it. You just have to kind of know the ins and the outs of Flickr. Google Photos would do it.
Mm-hmm.
Google Drive would even do it, depending on what kind of functionality you want.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Google Photos would work well.
In both of those cases, though, I'm wondering if they have to have an account to make use of the private page.
Right, but isn't how else would you secure something unless somebody had to log in?
Yeah, I had another take, and this is an example on the screen of using Dropbox. This is not a secure link. This is a public link, but it's really super long and ugly.
And so security by obscurity.
Exactly. So that's another option for you. You could do it in a public Dropbox folder. Their interface for images is pretty decent. You know, you get a little preview, you can right-click and download them or whatever. So, I mean, that's just another option to consider. Any of those cloud-based hostings are going to have that kind of stuff, but, you know, how you do
there
it privately.
I'm trying to think of the tool now. I'll have to do some research, but there are services or plugins that right on top of like Dropbox that'll provide a single password kind of solution where you can't get in unless you provide this password. So maybe that's more what the question is. So just kind of a single password approach.
So then they wouldn't need a special account. They would just
right.
need to know the credentials
know the
to
password.
View the page.
Right.
So
yep. Similar to Vimeo does that where you can just assign one password to get into it.
To an area of your account.
Yep.
Sure. So there's some ideas for you, Julia. Let us know what you come up with and how it works for you. One more community feedback item that I wanted to make mention of, and we have talked before about Andy Van Wheel, who's a principal teacher down in Friendswood, Texas, and he tweets as well as he runs the blog called The Quotable Wells Teacher, and it's at wellsteacher.com. And
I like
just published a new blog post today, and it's called Overcoming the Teacher Chart of Doom. And let's see if I can zoom in on the teacher chart of doom. It says, attitudes toward teaching, anticipation in August, drops off by September, October to disillusionment. And then you get rejuvenated by about March, and you're reflecting at the end of the year. And then over the summer, you're back to that anticipation state. So Andy has some great suggestions in this blog post. Number one.
Not that line, yep.
Yep, staying strong in the word, staying healthy, making time for yourself. He has a corny bad day file, keeping the bigger picture in mind. I think it's a blog post worth reading, and the timing is perfect, Andy, for the new school year. So check it out, Wells Teachers, and be encouraged.
Very good.
That's going to do it for community feedback, Martin.
Okie dokie.
Back to you.
And boy, it's a longer one of our summer shows, but we had so much e-giving goodness that we wanted to share. Next week, not quite as edgy or C kind of stuff, I dare to say. Planning and policy.
Important stuff.
It is important. You need those plans. You need those policies, especially in the society in which we live. You've always needed planning, but policies are really critical. So we've kind of gathered little bits and pieces from all over the wiki because we weren't quite sure what to do with these and put them all together. So we're going to talk about planning and policy, privacy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's next week.
Please stay awake for it.
Please come back. What's our featured video?
We have an addition to our presentation and teaching videos playlist, Martin, and it's from the 2014 International Wells Youth Rally. Pastor John Enter did one of the keynote presentations there. It's about an hour long, and I was thinking this would be great to share with your youth groups that weren't able to attend Youth Rally because I think he has some really wise words to share. So check it out. We will have it embedded on the show notes, and there'll be links there as well.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for everybody who joined us live and asked and answered questions. Really awesome that you could join us again every Tuesday, 4 o'clock. But if you can't make it, we're pushing this out in video and audio format on iTunes. It's on our website. Go to wellstech.wells.net. If you want to give us feedback, you can go there as well. wellstech@wells.net is our email address. All kinds of ways to communicate with us. We're just glad that you decided that what we do here is worth your listening or viewing time. So come back again for episode 356. Sally, I think that's going to do it for 355. See you next week, everybody.